you're not necessarily going to solve climate change issues in your life. You're not necessarily going to solve the problem of education or malnutrition in your lifetime. But it's just about knowing that you're, however small, however little, creating some impact somewhere, one person at a time, one client at a time, one cause at a time. But I think this is a realization that has come after a lot of time. But I've had moments of just being like, what is this space? Why am I here? But coming to terms with the fact that these are all real, valid feelings to have. You're not the only one who may be feeling this. What is this sector? And why am I here? I'm not making any many.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to your favorite voice of business psychology. I am your host, Kritika Kashyap, a management psychologist. Today's conversation is going to be insightful, deep, talking about motivation and real challenges. Get ready to dive deep into the heart of the social sector with the incredible Jija, a powerhouse of public policy and development consultancy with a heart set to making a difference. With hands-on experiences from the grassroots to the policy rooms, she is here to debunk myths about social work and ignite that intrinsic motivation in you to impact the world. Let's tune in. Hi, Jija. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast, Psych and Success.
My pleasure, Kritika. I'm so glad we were, you know, we've connected before, and I'm so glad we finally managed to find time to do this.
Yeah, I'm so happy because the first time we had a conversation, you working in the social sector and making all the profound impacts that you have been doing. I just see like a lot of stories that I would want to explore that you would have with your experience and with the wide knowledge that you have in the area. So why don't you start with introducing yourself to the audience?
Sure. So I am from Calcutta. I grew up there. I did all my schooling there. And then I got an opportunity to go study in the US for my undergrad. So I went there, I went to Ohio Wesleyan University. I studied. Initially, I thought I was going to study psychology, but I switched to sociology. And that's what I got my major in. And I did a minor in journalism.
Okay.
But I think the passion to just want to work in the social sector or just sort of help people, for the lack of a better phrase, is what kind of led me to sociology. And I think at the time, I don't think I necessarily understood there was a sector that worked in this space or what the opportunities were, but it was more of a go as you can, learn as you read, and kind of pick up from there. So so that's what kind of led me to study what I did and then pursue a career in this space.
What exactly do you do?
This is a very loaded question, but at present I work for a public policy advocacy firm, and that essentially means I work with different clients, which can be corporates, it can be foundations, it can just be clients in the sector of climate change and sustainability. It can be clients in, you know, gender, to kind of help them understand what are different public policies that impact their work that they're trying to grow out in this country, in this region, and help them navigate that. So from understanding what are the policies to understanding what is the ecosystem that they can engage in, to helping them build out thought leadership through research and reports and convening. So it's a little bit of a lot of different things at the moment. But over the last couple of years, I think I've kind of dabbled in different aspects of this whole policy development, social sector ecosystem, including, you know, doing some work at the grassroots level with research and implementation in the nonprofit space. To more government advisory and consulting space, and working with, understanding the impact of different government schemes or impact of different programs that, a multilateral organization might be running in India or this region at large. So yeah, so I've kind of done a little bit of everything and gotten a flavor of all that this space has to offer. Well, not all, but a lot of what this space has to offer.
I know you're somebody who wear a lot of different hats. And so I want to understand, I mean, although you say that you wanted to help people and that is what led you to sociology, but then you could have helped people through all different, I mean, there's a lot of different studies that you could have done and the fields you could have gotten into. What made you get into the social sector and that you started working and now you are so much deeply involved in it?
Yeah, I think, you know, growing up, there was a lot of limited understanding of what you can do with a degree in sociology. Because we grew up in a culture where social sector work was kind of just relegated to working in a nonprofit, working in a non-governmental organization, doing what no one really understood. Or like to some extent, just like volunteer work, right? Like even in school, when you had to do like help someone, you were or kind of do community-driven work, it was just like volunteering somewhere. But I went to college and I got the opportunity to learn that there is a lot that you can do in impact. And I'm still like 8 years later, I'm still kind of figuring out what else is out there. And sociology, although theoretical, I think there was at the core was the desire to see how do you understand people and work in a collective environment to support. And of course, there are different hard skills that you have to kind of learn along the way. You need to learn, you know, research, or you need to learn how to be a good communicator and written, oral, all of that. But somewhere along that line, which is where I mentioned briefly about the desire to also study psychology, because at the end of the day, and you learn this much later, no matter what space you're in the business of working with people. Whether you're in a corporate environment, whether you're in the social sector doing community work at the grassroots, whether you're working with the government, at the end of the day, you're trying to understand people to some extent and see how you can use your skills in supporting that. It could be a cause, it could be, you know, whatever that objective is that you lay out for yourself. Yeah, so I think I'm still figuring that out, but that was kind of the latent desire to, you know, say that I'll build on this skill and I'll have to figure out where to apply those skills. But this is the general direction to go. And I had, you know, professors and I had a larger college community that kind of helped me figure it out. And of course, figure it out in a very different regional context. I was in the US, but I knew that I wanted to come back to India right away and take it from there. So that's kind of where it started. And yeah, now here I am, just 7-8 years ago.
Because I see that, you know, you have been so busy, and that was also the reason why we were not able to connect earlier. What keeps you motivated to work like every day? Because every day you do not see an impact happening and changing people's lives. So what is it that keeps you going?
That is so true. I think you've kind of really hit the nail on the head, because motivation is so difficult in this space. I mean, probably true for a lot of different sectors, but so true in this sector per se, because a lot of young people, including myself, you enter the field saying, oh, I want to move the needle and I want to create impact and I want to make a difference. But you're not necessarily... you don't necessarily have a comprehensive understanding of how long and how hard it is, how long it takes and how hard it is to make that difference. And it's very easy to get disheartened very early on, to feel very jaded, to feel like, you know, you're not going anywhere with impact. But I think that's where it comes down to kind of going back to the drawing board and figuring out that intrinsic motivation. I think that's what drives you a lot more than external factors, because guaranteed 100% of the time, well, 95 to 100% of the time, I think there will be situations where it's just like, what is going on? Why am I doing this? Can I just move away and just earn money elsewhere? But I think having like an internal motivation to know that, you know, this is the path and it's not going to be linear. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be, easy to navigate and figure out. Yeah. But it is what I want to do and it is what I want to figure out along the way, along my professional journey. I think that's what drives you. And sometimes that does mean you kind of switch around like I have. You spend a couple of years doing different types of things, getting your sort of bearings and learning what is it that's out there and where is it that I feel most connected to at that given point in time. And kind of navigated that way. But motivation can be very hard. I'm not going to lie. I think that's a very, very crucial question that you raised because it's something that a lot of us dabble with and kind of have a hard time with. But at the end of the day, again, you kind of figure out what your journey looks like and make it. Yeah.
But since, you know, as you said, even I knew social sector because I come from a completely different sector altogether.
Yeah.
Social sector to me as well was working with NGOs and NPOs and volunteer work or even getting a job there. But just the idea of it is not widely there, out there, for even the young generation to understand what exactly it is and how can they, you know, build themselves in that space. So what sort of, how did you navigate through it? What were the challenges for you?
Yeah, you know, I think when I started out, there wasn't as much information out there, or at least not in a very synchronized manner that kind of laid out what are the different opportunities for you or what is it that you can do. I think that's changing. I think now there's a lot more information out there. There are a lot more young people coming out of college, in college, who are interested in public policy, who are interested in the social sector. And there are tools to help them sort of figure that out. There's a lot of information. There are organizations that are putting out the work out there a lot more. And in general, I think the ecosystem is also kind of recognizing the need to incorporate a lot of fresh perspectives, which younger people can bring in into the space. And I think for me, it was a lot of just reading what's out there, reading work that has been done before, speaking to people. And all of those still holds true. I think till date, it's important to kind of put yourself out there, connect with people in organizations that you
always know about. And the ongoing learning.
Exactly. So I think that's definitely still true for today. But there, I think, is a general appreciation for this space. Not necessarily always an understanding of what the space has to offer, but that's fine. I think just in terms of having a more sort of a larger group of youngsters who are interested in public policy itself is a good step for the sector and taking in a lot more people coming out of college who want to make an impact and showing them the ways to do so in different forms is out there. It's growing and it's an exciting space to be in for sure.
Yeah. So when you talk about the younger generations showing interest, have you actually like seeing more and more younger people coming into this policy making and social sector work? And is it something unique that these the younger people are bringing on to the table and working differently than how it was supposed, how it has been working until now?
Yeah, I think almost every organization that I've been a part of has been. I've had peers or juniors and even my immediate seniors were largely young. It's a young crowd. But I also think what I've noticed is, there's a certain level of passion that Gen Z, as we call it, brings for social impact. You know, it's almost inbuilt in this generation. That desire to kind of address social issues, whether it's climate change, whether it's education, whether it's gender equality, like all of these, I think, whether maybe it's a form of just a lot of information that you're passively incorporating, because there's so much information out there. There's social media, you're constantly reading and learning and watching and hearing. So there's also that latent desire to work in a space that's creating impact. And I think they also bring a lot of, like I was briefly saying, just fresh perspectives, innovative thinking, your hard skills in terms of understanding technology, for instance, or a more adept digital fluency. All of these are things that newer, younger people are bringing into this space. And there's a lot that they can contribute to. And I'm saying they as if I'm not young, but in general, I think that it's just... So I just think it's just, you know, really an exciting time to be in this space. And it's also exciting for those of us who've spent a considerable amount of years within policy and social sector trying to navigate it, to see this kind of interest and commitment to the social sector.
Okay, so you definitely would work as a role model for so many people coming in and who are already... they've just started with their work in the social sector. And do you think, because when I think of policymaking and working as a social person, I see a lot of, you know, old age people in the, that's my image. And that is what also I've seen on the screens on television. So that must be somewhat true as well, to some extent. I'm not saying that is completely true, but then how have you seen the Gen Z coming in and making all the impact? How much space do they get to actually get their ideas on the table, get all the technology, all the change that they want to make? And how open is the sector to embrace them?
Interesting question. And I think it also kind of depends on the type of organization that you're in and the kind of leadership that you've had the opportunity to work with. But I think in general, of course, there is a lot of people who've spent decades in this sector, right? And they've sort of grown, the sector's evolved with them, an understanding of what social sector is, what impact is, what public policy is, has evolved over time. And there is a considerable generation of people who bring with them decades of experience and knowledge. Whereas you have this younger cohort of people coming out of college, in college, in their early 20s, with a drive to make impact. And I think tapping into that that knowledge transfer between people who've spent so many decades of working and dedicating their lives to certain causes, what has worked for them, what hasn't worked for them, where are we heading as a generation today, what's the world, status of the world has also evolved. And that impacts the kind of work that you can do, that you need to do, that you're willing to do. So I think just in general, tapping into that kind of a space where you share experiences that you know, a lot of people have built over time, and the adaptability to kind of grow with the times, to grow with technology, to grow with the general recognition that the world is very, very different from probably when a lot of people started their work years in this space. And, you know, kind of opening up that opportunity to have communication with different generations, with Gen Z, with their knowledge of the world, with their understanding of technology, or with their understanding of different sectors from their lens, is important. That integration is important in decisions, that integration is important in what we were talking about, in continuously learning and learning from both sides. You know, you need to learn from the younger generation, you need to learn from the older generation, and there's a lot that you can do together to create a more to create stronger impact. So I think, I mean, there's mentorship ways, mentorship programs. There's, you know, probably like capacity building on how to understand technology better in just office functioning. There's different ways that this should be incorporated for the sector. And I think there's a lot that can be done, and it's happening. I think there can be potentially friction between younger, newer, but that's true for any sector. I don't think it's not just for social justice.
And you know, you are also in a very interesting position because you are a millennial and you have to work with Gen X, baby boomers, and also Gen Z. And now that you are in the senior, mid-senior level, how do you cope up with it, or for the lack of word, manage both of it so that everybody goes hand in hand towards, you know, a particular target or mission?
I think it's largely been fun because you, like, we joke about this with like Gen Z team members, and they always like teach you up-to-date lingo to use and like meanings of phrases and words. But I think in general, it's just about creating that balance and recognizing that irrespective of age, a lot, like every team member is there for a reason. They've earned their spot in that team. And there are perspectives to learn from everyone. So I think just being in organizations when working with different people across experiences and age groups and designations kind of has also helped me figure out what is it that I want my management style to be. And that is basically creating that balance, recognizing that you can learn from both sides and, you know, being adaptable and flexible enough to be able to do that, I think goes a long way. And it's not always easy. I'm saying it as if it's a very seamless process, but that's where the learning is. And it's been a good learning so far.
Yeah, because it's not just about the social sector. Everywhere in every industry, it's a major problem that how to bridge the gap between the different generations and different mindsets that are going around.
100%, yeah.
I mean, it's remarkable how you are trying to, you're able to manage both of them in their own elements and get them together.
Yeah.
So, you know, now getting into your work, the on-ground work, how have you faced any challenge in advocating the social change? What sort of challenges do you face in your domain, in your work?
Yeah, a lot. And I don't necessarily mean it from my current job. I think just in general, in this space over the years, you figure out that a lot of times things may not go your way. A program, you might have to shift the direction a program is taking, or, you know, you might end up research takes a long time, but you're kind of required to turn out reports in a quicker span of time. It can be hard to do field work. It can be hard to do research in India, especially as a woman. There are challenges that you face when you're out in the field. So there are different, like, you know, and then of course, if you're in a client-facing environment, you might have, you know, it's a fast-paced consulting environment. So to adapt to that also takes a lot of time and a lot of learning, relearning, unlearning. So there are different types of challenges for sure. And I think a part of the challenge is to keep your self sane, keep yourself motivated, keep yourself from kind of, you know, just knowing that all of this is a part of that learning is important, but it's hard. It's not the easiest sector to be in, but then again, it wouldn't be interesting if it was all easy. So, you know, that this is definitely one way of learning.
Yeah. So have you also, what do you think is missing in the way the social sector approaches the behavioral change when you're working, let's say on ground, or you're trying to present your research and actually trying to implement that?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is, I mean, behavior science as a field is evolving in India, and its application to public policy is evolving in India. So like what I was saying at the beginning, you know, like recognizing that at the end of the day, whether it's a policy or a program, it's the business of understanding people. It's right. What is it that drives them? What is it that would make them, you know, do a certain thing? Like recognizing that and applying that into your policy making, applying that into your program design is very crucial. And I think the sector is recognizing that, and there are ways in which it's incorporating that a lot, which is going to bring about hopefully a lot of change that is needed. But at the same time, a lot of times you're not, you know, programs are not really catering to behavior change in the way that it takes time to change a certain pattern or a behavior, but your programs don't necessarily always give you that time frame because they're designed to be a couple of months long or designed to be a year long. But behavior change can, you know, you're trying to address social norms that are deeply entrenched in your culture or in your, you know, just society at large. So I think it's a good time right now where I think behavior change, behavior science, and its applicability to the policy sector is picking up. But it has its challenges and has had its challenges for so long, where there was a little understanding of applying, you know, elements of psychology to this space, applying, you know, what is it that communities want? What is driving them? Understanding context, incorporating that into how you approach a problem in that context. All of this is picking up, but lack of an understanding or lack of, you know, just programs that incorporated these elements has been a challenge so far.
You know, as you mentioned, behavioral change is nothing, like, it's not a quick thing to do. It takes a lot of time and a lot of hammering. You need to keep up to it and keep telling people, keep doing a lot of different programs to change a behavior altogether, change a, let's say, a societal culture that is going on.
100%.
Even though you say that it's changing, to what extent and how much time would do you think that people who are working would take to be in that position where they give more time and more resources to people working and understanding that if you need a change, you would have to give it time and a lot of your effort investment?
Yeah, I think it's definitely, I mean, I can't even put a time to it because it's going to take a while to get there. But it's promising to note that it's already started. It's already started in a way in which the government recognizes it. There are organizations that are already working in this sort of intersection of policy, social sector, behavior change, advocacy groups, of course. And, you know, just enabling a lot of knowledge transfer in this space, understanding what is it that different organizations are doing so that you're not kind of wasting your resources doing the same thing, whereas you can kind of collaborate and build a more, you know, stronger approach to some of the problems that you're handling. But it's going to take time. It's these challenges, these social issues didn't creep up overnight and they won't be solved overnight. It's going to take a lot of consolidated efforts from different sectors of people, from private sector, from government, from nonprofit, from different sectors of individuals. You need your older generation, you need your younger generation, you need the middle ground to kind of have everyone talking in the right way, in the right frequency to, you know, build this out. And it's, again, easier said than done. But I think it's a promising time, and there is hope for building out the kind of impact that we need, especially in today's day and age. But we'll see where the sector is headed, and I'm hopeful for you know, getting more young people involved in the causes and taking it up.
It's amazing. So when you know, say that you do a lot of different types of research and on-ground research, have you ever witnessed or come across something that was really astonishing for you as well, like even after being in the industry?
I think when I started out and I was doing field research, that was, I think, the foundation for learning a lot of things that I know about the sector, because it teaches, and more importantly, it teaches you a lot about yourself. It teaches you, it kind of makes you question your motivations and why you're passionate about certain things, because you're out in rural India, you're doing field work, you're often doing field work in peak summer, and you're just kind of figuring out how the space works, what are the challenges at a grassroots level. So a lot of times I think that experience was integral to my learnings about the sector, to build out more motivations for the sector. And till date, I think that anybody who's entering public policy or the social sector should spend a couple of years doing grassroots work, doing field research, even if it's challenging and hard and, you know, you're questioning a lot of things. I think just being able to get your hands down and dirty goes a long way in building a strong foundation for that space. And I'm very, very deep. It's very, very sort of grateful to have that experience early on, because it kind of has been a motivation all along.
Right. So would you not recommend people who want to get into the sector, but then they want to work in an office environment and not do the field work, because that is not something that they see as a fit for themselves, and just do the good cabin office work and make the changes from there?
No, I think 100% do that. And if that's your driving force, because some people are great in, you know, you can be fundraising, you can be doing, resource mobilization, sitting in a cabin, and that's also required. That's 100% required, because not everyone has that skill set either. But I think in general, to be able to kind of build out a career in this space, I think field work goes a long way. And not necessarily always the only important thing.
Right.
But if it is something, if the sector is something that you really want to know comprehensively, if it is a space where you kind of also want to push yourself a little and see what is it that's out there, how can I learn how programs pan out in the field? If you can and you're able to spend some time in doing field research, because I think, again, it goes back to building a very strong foundation in this space. So I don't think if someone's not motivated by it, it's incorrect. That's a personal choice. But I think if I were to give advice to anybody, I would say, even if it's for a year or two, just do that, because I think that goes a long way in learning the ropes from the ground up. And to do this early on, because you're always going to be able to sit in an office and sort of work in any sector, but you may not always have the motivation or the capabilities to travel around the country doing field. So do it when you're able to, when you can, because that can really help set the stage for a lot of things.
Yeah, because I think that working in the actual grassroots level would help you understand, and for you to have a wide range of exactly what is happening, and not just read papers and learn from different others' experiences. And that is how you would also be better when you are actually strategizing and designing your programs.
Yeah. And it not necessarily means you pack up everything and move to rural India. Of course, there are ways to do that if you really want. You can still be sitting in an office and spend a couple of weeks doing research, depending on what organization you're in. So you get to do both. But you kind of, I think it just boils down to figuring out what is it that you want to do and what is it that you want to gain out of working in this space. And again, I mean, you can be 10 years in the sector and say, oh, maybe now is the time for me to go and do field research. And again, there is never a wrong age to do it at all. But it's just about kind of going back to the drawing board and figuring out yourself and your motivations and where that lies, and connecting the dots that way. Because it's a complicated sector to navigate, you know. It's like it's a puzzle, but you don't know what is the picture that you're forming. You just have a couple of pieces here and there. And eventually you, I guess, as you go through your career, you build out a picture, but you don't know what you're working towards. Like that's kind of how I see it.
So the picture keeps changing.
Yeah, exactly. It could probably keep changing. But it's just that you have certain pieces of the puzzle here and there. And you try to kind of fit that along.
So you're working on the, again, grassroots level and understanding the rural places and the market and really going and understanding the people who you would be impacting. Have you experienced any eye-opening facts and experiences for yourself?
Yes, I think I some days feel like I have a lot of patience, and some days I feel like I have none. And I think more importantly, coming to terms with the fact that, you know, a lot of times it's not all hunky-dory. It's not, oh great, I've moved the needle. It's not glamorous at all. It can be tiring to work in this space because you're not always seeing the kind of impact that you want to see. You're not necessarily going to solve climate change issues in your life. You're not necessarily going to solve the problem of education or malnutrition in your lifetime. But it's just about knowing that you're, however small, however little, creating some impact somewhere, one person at a time, one client at a time, one cause at a time, whatever that means. But I think this is a realization that has come after a lot of time. But I've had moments of just being like, what is this space? Why am I here? Can I switch? Can I do something else? Is it too late? But coming to terms with the fact that these are all real, valid feelings to have. And the fact that you're not the only one who may be feeling this, you know, this development of like, what is this? Like, why am I here? I'm not making many impact. But so I think that's definitely something that I've learned about myself. And it's important to learn these things about yourself because you need to kind of, you know,
be there
and be more and be motivated.
So, because it's amazing that you are sharing these experiences and, you know, sharing these, that it can be challenging. It is, I mean, you require a lot of interest, motivation, because people who are either just in the beginning of their career in the sector or are going to start, they should know that first, that they are not alone, that they are facing these challenges. And second, that if they are entering right now, they should also know that these are the things that you are going to face.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's so important to know that at the beginning when you're starting your career, and knowing that you're going to probably face the same things, you know, at different moments in your career through the years. And that's okay, because at different points you'll have, you're also evolving as a person. So you're not just your hard skills and things that you've learned along the way in your professional journey, but just how you see the sector, how you see the world is also evolving as you grow. And that impacts your personal, and the person that you're becoming is what you bring to your professional life at the end of the day, to some extent. And, you know, keeping true to that goes a long way, especially in a space where you're constantly kind of wanting to make impact and dabble with the challenges of that.
Yeah. So have you noticed, I mean, because Gen Z, if you talk about, they are, as you mentioned, they are very motivated and a lot of passion for social causes, bringing a change, making impact in all the different, for all the different causes. But then, as you mentioned that, you know, you cannot rectify climate change in your lifetime.
Yeah.
And Gen Z, with so much of enthusiasm and just the passion that, you know, I'll make all the changes that is going to be there. And then suddenly you know, for them to realize, oh, that's not true. It's a very tiny dot that I could make an impact where I can make an impact. So, have you also noticed that people coming into the social sector and then working for a couple of years and then leaving the sector, going in some different sector?
Yeah, I think it happens a lot. And it also happens to people who have not been in the sector and they enter the sector thinking that it's, you know, they're jaded by, say, management consulting and they want to enter social sector because you can do impactful work. And you can. But I think it's important to know that it's a slow process and there is a lot to learn. There are lots of challenges to navigate. And it's especially true in a in a world of instant gratification and rewards, it's very important to know that the sector you're entering will not give you that. And you need to be okay with it. You need to be okay with showing up and doing the same thing probably for decades on end and seeing a minor shift, because that's how long it takes to make social change happen. And that's hard to do because it takes time to recognize and appreciate that, because you're always consuming information where you're just like, oh, I'm going to make a video and like things will change and I will create impact and I will create, but you're getting there. Again, these are like pieces of the puzzle that's forming, but it takes time. You need to be doing the same advocacy for years to be able to get somebody to recognize that as a cause. You need to be able to communicate the same thing probably hundreds of times before someone's able to create a recall value for it and associate you with the call. So I think these are all like elements that you kind of need to recognize and appreciate as you enter the space, and most importantly to not enter it thinking, oh, I'm going to make an impact overnight, or I'm going to do this for a year and be able to see a change. You probably will in some shape or form. But it's a slow process, and that's hard to do in this instance.
Yeah, I can only imagine. So how would what advice would you give, or how would you help the new generation, Gen Z coming in the market, or people in general coming in this term for the first time to navigate themselves? Because as you mentioned, it's a puzzle. There are pieces, and your picture keeps changing, evolving. How should one carve their way through it?
I think a couple of things, I guess. One is, and a lot of it has worked for me, one is essentially just keeping yourself up to date by reading. Just read everything that's out there, what is happening, and putting yourself out there to talk to people who are in the sector, requesting for time, just kind of figuring out what is it that your motivations are, even if you don't really know how to act on them, right? Like I just knew I wanted to help people. And how do you kind of take it from that to building a career in it? And continuing to kind of grow in that. I think it helps a lot when you're talking to people and kind of keeping yourself up to date with what's out. And I think lastly, just kind of knowing that there is absolutely no substitute for hard work. There is no time in space where you can do something in a shortcut way. It's going to catch up with you. And, valuing hard work, valuing that, you're putting yourself out there, you're giving time, dedication, energy to something. And there are going to be rewards in different ways that come to you through life. So just keeping that at the core of it. And it's hard when you're young and passionate and you kind of want to do a lot of things. It's good to keep that energy, but it's good to also channelize that energy in the right and sort of getting down and dirty and learning everything that is that you can in a job. And just respecting the sector, respecting the team that you're in, respecting the kind of work that you want to do. And eventually you also learn what your boundaries are. You learn where, what you want to do, what you don't want to do. And navigating that is also a part of the process. But I think just kind of keeping up the hard work and knowing that there's a lot of value in what you're doing somewhere along the line, it helps, especially in the moments where you feel demotivated or frustrated. Those are the moments where you kind of go back to the drawing board and say, okay, this is why I started. This is what I need to do. So that's my
bigger picture in your mind always. It's so crucial to keep yourself going every time. So Jita, do you want to say something?
No, I think that's absolutely true what you said, you know, like bigger picture, but staying true to the fact that sometimes that picture is a little hazy and it's okay. Not being afraid to kind of take those risks and not being afraid to be afraid of not knowing what the next step is it's okay. And you learn that much later in life. But yeah.
Yeah, but then it's good to, you know, listen from somebody who has already experienced it and telling that there is something good for you out there. You would feel very happy and very fulfilled time and again, but then it'll take time.
Yeah.
So my last question to you would be, I would love to know any, you know, unique, interesting stories, could be, you know, funny, heartwarming, that you have experienced while you were working on the field with the people around you.
I think when I kind of started out and I did a lot of field work, the best parts were always the people that you met when you went out to the field and you were doing research and you were kind of doing door-to-door research and talking to people out in the field, and they would make you tea and they would get you snacks and they'd want to learn everything about you and like where you're from and what you're doing. I think those like little conversations kind of stay with you, because that's the closest that you get to spending however little amount of time with a lot of people, for the people that you're working with for. And that early on, because I was fairly young when I started doing field work, I think those were always heartwarming elements of field research and field work, and being able to travel through rural India and see villages and see, you know, life outside of the city. It's very humbling. It's an interesting lens in looking at your world and questioning a lot of things about your own world, which is very grounding. So I think those definitely were moments that I still remember after all these years. You know, I keep saying that was definitely a very foundational moment and grounding moment in my entire professional and personal experience.
That's amazing, because, you know, people everywhere, and as you mentioned, that people just invite you over to your place for a little snack, a tea.
Yeah.
And it fills you with so much like homeliness that even if you are away from your home, that people are still so heartwarming and they just want to, there's somebody new who has come to their village and they want to put you in a pedestal and do everything that they can, and you being an outsider, you're just overwhelmed.
That's
so amazing. And Jita, thank you so much for sharing all of it, because you know it is so much needed, and from as somebody who is not from the sector, I got to learn so much about it, and it is definitely eye-opening for me that how things are changing and how people are operating. And it's not just now the old white-haired people that are there in the sector, and seeing you working so tremendously well in the sector, I am really amazed. And thank you for sharing so vividly and candidly all your experience.
My pleasure, Kritika. And thank you so much for this conversation. I hope, I learned a fair deal about you as well. We've been kind of communicating for the last couple of weeks now, month.
Yeah.
But it was definitely a fun time, and I'm glad I got to share my however little experience that I could.
And there you have it. Another episode of Psych and Success, packed with insights and real-world advice on business psychology, Gen Z, evolving workplace dynamics, culture, AI, and so much more.
If you want to stay ahead of the curve and dig deep into the fabric of modern work, you know what to do. Hit that follow button, share this podcast with your network, and drop us a review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you tune in. Your feedback not only supports us, but also helps us to connect with more inquisitive minds like yours. By the way, if you are looking to get in touch with today's guest, I got you covered. Check out the description for their contact details. And if you feel inspired to chat directly with me about these compelling subjects, you can book a quick call through my Calendly or shoot me an email. All the links are in the description. This is your host, Kritika Kashyap, reminding you that the future of work is here and it's evolving fast. So let's explore it together. Until next time.